Be at the Bowery Electric, 8 p.m. On your billboard for Tuesday, September 30th, David Binney will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, 10 p.m. The Hot Sardines will be at Le Poisson Rouge, Manhattan, 8 p.m. Looking ahead to Wednesday, October 1st, Ken Yates and Brian Dunn will be at the Deepwell Mansion in St. James, 8 p.m.
Listen to WUSB in the morning. On Mondays, Workhorse Radio. Tuesdays, Jim Dexter. Wednesday, Cafe Ali or Blues at Dawn. Thursday, Fishing with Bill or An Eclectic Mess. Friday, Whatever Floats Your Boat or Hypno Smoothie. That's all our sunrise shows weekdays on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Hello, everyone. It's Tuesday evening. It's 6 o'clock here at WUSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook. Coming up next is Off the Wall.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, everybody. Good evening. It's off the wall, as I said.
Sorry. Microphone was in the wrong position.
And are you in stereo? I just want to check.
I just want you to know that at radio stations, we design microphones especially so that when you move them, you can't barely tell that they're even being adjusted at all. They're sensitive, but they're not sensitive to noise.
That's true. And I can see you're gracefully doing that as
we
get started here on Off the Wall. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Another week has gone by, and here we are to report on it.
I'm Kyle, and is Emmanuel who's joining.
This is Emmanuel over here, I checked.
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome to everybody. Welcome to all listeners. And thank you for listening. It means something to us when you listen. It means a lot to us when you write to us, otw@2600.com, and it means so much when you call 631-632-6901. As we will ask you to do later, and we're not asking for money, not this week, we're just asking for your vocal cords to tell us what's on your mind, right?
Always.
No catches.
But you're giving a little foreshadowing to a bit of fundraising.
Well, that's going to happen
that
at some
like
point. It's going to happen, yeah.
All right.
You know it's going to happen.
Okay, well, I'm prepared for that. But in the meantime,
wow. Strange noise. I'm hearing things in my headphones. I don't know if you're hearing, but are you hearing that? Okay.
Yeah, just one of the other technical things. I think it's just the positioning of the mic is different for us here.
I'm in a different corner of the room this week.
Yeah, I really like it, though, because I can see you, and that's a great part of using
a
studio.
Most people don't say that. Most people
say
the opposite.
But it's I can look you in the eyes. We can check these things. We can have a worthy conversation here at WUSB.
I'd like to think that's still possible, that we can do that. Here at WUSB, we broadcast to the people in Western Suffolk County, but we also broadcast to the entire world, and other worlds too, if they choose to tune into 90.1 FM somehow. While we might be focusing on matters that that affect us here locally, there are matters that also could affect people in other areas as well. You might see yourself in some of the things that we go through. You might say, hey, that happened to me once many years ago, or that could happen to me tomorrow. You know, it's just because we're over here does not make us any less relevant to you over there.
Yeah, that's like that universality, that human connection we have, and that's something we cherish, we enjoy at Off the Wall.
So what I'd like to focus on, at least at the beginning of the program, is local stuff. Local stuff. You know, you ever hear the phrase, think globally, act locally?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, you hear that all the time.
I just don't know how to act globally, but pretty much we all act locally because we live locally in our own little communities and neighborhoods, and that is how... That's how you change things. That really is how you change things. It's also how you experience and share and all of that. We went to... the story is going to go on for a little bit, I think, because everything just keeps relating. We went to Maker Faire a couple of weeks ago.
We did.
It was awesome, as always. We met all kinds of people, met a lot of listeners, both to this show and to the other show. People who read the magazine, people who came to the conference. And it's always great just to talk to people and share stories and just enjoy the atmosphere of pretty much everything we stand for: creativity, adventure, learning, building, being a bit mischievous, that kind of thing. That's what you see at Maker Faire.
Oh, and do you see it?
Yeah, you sure do. But something else that we saw at Maker Faire, which leads me to the next chapter of this saga, is someone's T-shirt. And that T-shirt made reference to an observatory on Long Island that I did not know existed, out in Southold, Long Island. Now, if you're on Long Island right now, you might not know where Southold is, because maybe you're from Huntington, maybe you're from Smithtown, maybe you're from St. James, you know, who am I to judge? But do you ever go east? Do you ever head east, and particularly east on the North Fork? Yeah, people head east on the South Fork a lot. They go to the Hamptons, they go to Montauk, but the North Fork, that's where wine country is, that's where you get all kinds of farms popping up, and it's more like a New England type of community of just quiet little villages that don't see a whole lot of traffic, a whole lot of people. Sometimes they do, but not that often. So I was very intrigued because the North Fork out there, Southold in particular, Cutjog, that particular area, that's where I tend to go to look at stars. I remember a number of years ago, there were a couple of comets that came by, and that was the best place to go to actually see them without any light pollution. So to find out that there's actually an observatory out there I didn't even know about, just because somebody had it on a T-shirt at Maker Faire, that blew my mind. And, of course, we had to head out there. It turns out they have observing nights on Saturdays, once a week. And this past Saturday, it was so incredibly clear. There were no clouds in the sky. There was no moon in the sky, because the moon really kind of messes things up for stargazers. And it was a Saturday. So those three things all added together, you know, the crisp autumn air, it made for perfect stargazing. So we just headed out east.
We couldn't pass it up.
Could not pass that up.
I mean, you get the conditions, they're just right. Sometimes you're, the hardest thing is getting out the door, going and doing it. We're happy to have done it. We kind of have this interesting new community that, well, there's, as you said at the time, a lot of kindred spirits, a lot of people that are into space, into where we are, and the physics of it all, and what's out there.
Yeah, so we drove out to Southold and found the observatory. It's an interesting place, and it's right off of a road that's kind of busy, but you would never guess it being out in the field that they have, because there's no light pollution there, and they have a pretty big telescope. Actually, they have a series of telescopes. They have one that records video, so they were able to look at something called, I think, what, the blue snowball? What that was called, or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they were able to record that, and you could see just various bits of detail on a video screen. But then they also had this huge telescope that you basically had to take a number to get to see. And there were a lot of people there. It was good to know that there were a lot of people who were aware of this, even if I wasn't aware of it. And that was the place to be on Saturday night. We saw a couple of galaxies. We saw a nebula. We actually saw a few nebulae through different telescopes. And we saw some star clusters as well. But mostly, you know, just looking up at the night sky, I think that's the most amazing thing, just being out there where it's dark. And of course, shooting stars. We saw those as well. But what did you make of the actual the crowd that was there?
Well, they seemed like they were a bit overwhelmed because again the conditions were so good, and so I think they were uncharacteristically busy,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. I mean, that shows there's a lot of interest, and they had different stations, which I think worked really well. They need more like low level lighting so you can walk around a bit more. And go from station to station while you're maybe waiting to use the larger telescope. And
do you know it's the oldest public observatory on Long Island, established in 1927? I'm looking at their webpage.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, I didn't know that at all. You hear that, right? That sort of... What is that?
You know what I think it is? I think it's the construction next door. And it's vibrating on a certain level.
The building
level.
Is vibrating?
I think the building is vibrating from construction, and it's reverberating.
I don't know if people can hear this.
Mic stands, because there's springs that suppress and suspend
the
microphone.
Well, I can make that noise by doing this.
Oh, you mean this? No, it's not the same thing.
No, it's not. It's similar. But just in case people couldn't hear that low-pitched noise that we were hearing, because I didn't do that before. I didn't touch the microphone, and it just sort of resonated on its own.
Yeah, I think it's the actual Earth moving a bit, because there's always good changes here going on at the university, and that's progress. It's a busy time of year here in the autumn. Everybody's getting to work. So,
yeah, I guess that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to the, it's called the Custer Institute and Observatory. They're having their 36th annual astronomy jamboree. I don't really know what that's all about, but it happens from October 17th through 19th. So it's just around the corner. Their website is custerobservatory.org, and I recommend going out there on a Saturday night and checking it out. It'd be pretty interesting, especially if it's clear. If it's cloudy, I'm not sure what they do if it's cloudy. I think they still gather. Maybe they just talk about astronomy or something. But we were talking about stars just last week, you know, and how amazing it is just to look at the sky. And here we are, completely oblivious of an awesome observatory out there that's been there since 1927. Need more people to support that kind of thing. So staying in touch with all that, yeah, we went out east, we went into the dark part of Long Island, the North Fork, And then we came back, and we figured we'd stop at one of our local convenience stores because we go to convenience stores. It's actually a whole network, not network so much, but just a bunch of independent stores that are not 7-Elevens. They look like 7-Elevens. Some of them actually were 7-Elevens in the past. They have the same architecture, but they're different stores, and they have different names, and they're all independently owned. And it's kind of a countercultural thing to do. So we make it a point when we're out here to go to the independent one and not to the chain. Even though when you think about it, the people running the chain also are struggling just as much to make ends meet. It is probably no real difference, but it's just kind of, it makes you feel a little better to not go to 7-Eleven and feel like you did.
Yeah. I think it's a weird industry, and they've got kind of their work cut out for them, whichever franchise they've chosen, whichever way they've chosen to go with a franchise. But it struck us when we were approaching a place that is independent, we like to support. We do it because there are, you know, a lot of big chains, and sometimes it's nice to go to the smaller places. Well, they had that yellow police tape around it.
Yeah, we were pulling up, you know, it's kind of down a dark road.
Yeah.
And I think you saw it first.
I did.
And the whole place is just cordoned off with this crime scene tape. And there's cops everywhere. They're just sitting in their cars writing reports, facing all different directions, too. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, good golly gee whiz, what could this... what's happened here? the store we want to go to is apparently something bad has happened, and for a long time we didn't know what had happened because there really isn't on the spot news reporting. There really is not. You see something happen and you have to wait a day to find out what it was unless you know the people involved. There actually is this series of local quote-unquote newspapers. I say quote-unquote because it's not really a newspaper. It's a website called Patch.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. All I do know is that in the local area, this local area being Port Jefferson, you go to a website called portjefferson.patch.com, and you'll see what's happening in the area. There's one guy named Ryan who writes every single story, it seems. And when he gets around to it, he'll write the story, and then you can find out what happened locally. So we had to wait about, I don't guess, 12, 15 hours before Ryan got around to writing it or found out about it. And it turns out that particular local convenience store had been robbed.
Yep.
And, I was kind of amazed that they did all that. Like in New York City, place gets robbed. The cop has to wait online with everybody else to file the report. They're still doing business. But in this particular case, guy just robs the place and they're shut down for the night. And the whole block is shut down for the night. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then... reading the story, turns out that there was a robbery just around the corner at Carvel last Tuesday, similar, just one guy with a hoodie, and I don't know who robs Carvel on a Tuesday, it just seems kind of like a desperate move.
Yeah, I'd go maybe on a Sunday. I mean, that Tuesday doesn't seem like a busy night.
Wednesday is Sunday, though, there, so you would go on Wednesday and two for one. So I forget how it works. You have to ask Cookie Puss. Okay, if you don't hear that, then
it's
an altered dimension.
It's like light feedback.
Do you think... Hang on, I'm going to unplug these headphones. Did that... Okay, I'm going to plug them back in then. In a situation like this...
Sorry, I turned your mic down.
Yeah, well,
briefly.
No, you're eliminating possible causes.
All right, I'm going to turn mine...
Okay, it's still there, it's not you.
No,
turn me down.
Okay, I'm turning you down.
But it went away... It went away before you turned me down. Okay, wait for it to come back. Here it comes. Now turn me down.
It's you.
It is me. How is it me?
I don't know. I think the position of the mic or something's funky about that.
So maybe these headphones are somehow interfering with the microphone.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe do you have them really loud?
Okay. I'll try. What can I do? I don't know how to fix this.
Well, we'll just keep...
This is a new problem for us.
Well, we'll keep experimenting here and getting our setup right. But, just... We'll continue the discussion.
How about I put the mic over here?
There you go. Just twist it 180 degrees. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you were saying...
It's designed for that kind of thing.
Carvel being hit on the Tuesday. How do you figure it's a Friday for them?
No, I didn't say that. I said Wednesday is Sunday. Pay attention.
Wednesday is Sunday.
If you grew up on the East Coast, Kyle,
which you
apparently neglected to do, you would know that Tom Carvel would come out and tell people that every Wednesday is Sunday at Carvel, and that's when you get a free Sunday or something.
Ah, I see.
Okay. I wasn't allowed to do that, so I don't really know the details, but I do know that that's part of our culture.
It is.
Anyway, so yeah, they hit Carvel on Tuesday, and then they hit this this independent convenience store on Saturday night, because we went out to the observatory. And then last night, I needed to stop at the bank, and we're in a shopping center, and you saw this. What'd you see?
Yeah, nutrition store had tape around
it. The same tape. Well, maybe not the same tape, but the very similar tape cordoned off that store. And it's like, you know, somehow we keep arriving at the scene of the crime after it happens. Well, we didn't go to Carvel, that's true, but we could have.
We didn't, but...
If I was a detective, I would take note of that, that we passed by twice now in two nights, that's kind of suspicious.
We're not exactly busybodies about the town either. I mean, it's sort of strange to be seeing these. Every time we turn around, it seems like some place has just been robbed. So, be that as it may, this is going about the area. So, yes, mind your belongings.
Well, it turns out, actually, I think on the 19th of September, a dollar store was also robbed. Same basic MO.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You were telling me. Okay.
So I'm going to read the story that
go ahead.
That this guy Ryan from The Patch wrote. And there's a picture of the guy, too. Gosh, that looks familiar. I just can't place it. Have everybody I know wear a hoodie, and maybe I can figure out who this is. Police are investigating a robbery at a Port Jefferson Station business Monday night, the fourth such robbery in town over a 10-day period. It's a one-man crime spree. Somewhere out there, this one guy is plotting his next move. It's incredible that he can rob four stores in close proximity and not get caught. But that's par for the course, I suppose.
He seems to be casually being able to do that. I mean,
he looks pretty casually. It looks like he's checking his phone, apparently, when he's doing this, and all kind of perusing the Carvel, like, baked goods in the back. Anyway, according to police, a man entered the GNC store on Route 112 about 7:30 p.m. last night, demanded money from an employee. Employee complied. The robber fled with an undisclosed amount of money. They never disclosed the amount of money. And then a list of the other places that... that he has hit. So yeah, a crime spree, one man crime spree in the local area, something to kind of pique our interest. But you don't. It's not on Newsday. It's not on News 12. It's not anywhere. You kind of have to follow these news stories yourself, and we follow them just by stumbling upon them. And I guarantee you, you know, we start driving around tonight, and we're going to stumble upon another one. Or actually, you know what? He took Monday off, so maybe he took Sunday off. Yeah. He hit the convenience store on Saturday. He hit the nutrition store on Monday. So he might not hit anything until tomorrow or maybe even Thursday.
Right, going into next weekend.
Yeah, so between all of us, though, I think we can help figure out what this guy's going to hit next. You know, he's an ice cream store, a convenience store, a dollar store, and a nutrition store. It's kind of unusual. Yeah, he's working himself up to a bank, maybe.
Yeah, he's skirting around that, but not quite getting to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so whatever it is, I don't think he has a car. All right, I think this guy only is able to walk a certain amount of distance, and that's why he's keeping it in such a close proximity. But it'll be interesting to sort of wander around that part of town, you know, and see what kind of police presence there is. That's always fun, isn't it?
Indeed.
So yeah, that's our local bit for tonight. Oh, you know, something else local? It's local, but it's not our local.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, it's I neglected to mention this last week, but there was another round of the FA Cup on Saturday involving some of the lowest teams. I don't want to say it that way. The teams that you might not have heard of before. You know, we started with Nuttington Griff, the one you picked at complete random.
Right.
In the 10th league, 10th level down. First level being all the teams you might have heard of, Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, all that. But they're in the 10th league, 10th level. Of course, they lost 10-0, I guess in honor of their level. But we're still following. And every time a team beats a team we're following, we start following that team. And right now we're up to Barwell. Barwell was playing Norwich FC, I think, which is I believe they're a ninth-level team, and Barwell is seventh.
Okay.
And it ended in a scoreless tie, which means they had to play another game today to settle that and move on to the third round. Now, it's the third round, but it's a fifth week because they had two preliminary rounds before the first and second round. So, okay, I don't know how the game turned out, so I'm going to try and find out now what happened in that game that virtually nobody cares about. About 100 people showed up to the game on Saturday. Certainly nobody in the United States is following this except for us. And we're being a bit obstinate about it by insisting on following and tracking this. And again, Norwich is one of the lowest teams, so they're not really favored. If they win, we'll become Norwich fans. Probably won't last very long, but we'll follow them into the next round. But if Barwell continues to win, we'll follow them into the third round.
As long as it's low. We want the low teams.
Well, you know, it would be nice if the low teams continued into when the big teams come in. The big teams don't even come in for another few rounds. And the biggest teams of all, I think, they get it easy. You know, these guys, they win something like five games in a row, and they still haven't gotten to the point where they're playing the big teams. And the big teams only have to win maybe four games in a row to really advance. So, but, you know, theoretically, it's still an interesting system compared to what we have here. You have almost 1,000 teams, each one of which could theoretically be the champion if they keep winning games. And you don't have anything like that in this country, I don't think, in any sport.
True. Yeah.
So I'm going to look this up. I don't know if you have anything to banter about.
Nothing mildly professional, at least, as an equivalent in this country. Maybe some AAA or some baseball teams.
Well, you have that, but they don't... Yeah, they can't play against the big teams.
Pub leagues kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or softball leagues. I know that's pretty big in some places. But they don't. I don't think they have a historic tournament as this is.
This is only one country, too. This is the FA Cup in England. Every country has their own cup. And so they all have hundreds of teams, I imagine, if they use the same basic rules. I'm typing it into Wikipedia now to see what the results are, so bear with me for a moment.
That's right. We are going to bear with you. The right channel in this headphone is messed up.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Can't hear out of one ear.
Well, there are some people that can't hear out of one ear all the time.
And I should appreciate that I can anyway.
Exactly. You can throw those headphones to the ground and resume a normal life. I'm in the wrong competition here. FA Cup is what I want. It's very hard to search for things on Wikipedia sometimes.
Yeah, I always prefer a search engine and then type wiki after it. I feel like search engines are a lot better, a lot more direct at finding a Wikipedia page you're actually looking for than their internal search. Probably because they run search, but it's just not that great, or they're still implementing it, like Lucene or some Elastic craziness.
Yeah. I've got to 2007, 2008 FA Cup qualifying rounds. Obviously, that's not right. But if I keep clicking on the links next to it, I'll get to where I need to be right now. Coming up to it, 2010-11, 2011-12. I typed in the year, and it just didn't work, so I had to settle for a different year. And here we are. So, we're in the second round qualifying, and I have the results. Barwell and Norwich played to a scoreless tie in front of 118 people on Saturday, and the results of today's game, ready?
Yeah, I am.
Are you really ready?
Because I think so.
It's not even on the screen. I have to scroll down to get to it. So
okay.
It's kind of exciting for me, too.
Well, I'm listening.
All right. And Barwell is of the seventh level. Norwich United is of the ninth level. And here we go. The replay today. There's no score. They don't have the score here. Why is that? I'm sorry.
It's not updated yet.
There's just a dash, and they haven't updated it yet, so I don't know.
Oh, great.
Well, I guess I could go to their Twitter feed and figure it out that way.
Okay. Too much buildup.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go on to Twitter now and find out if they won.
We will report back on this, ladies and gentlemen. We'll definitely figure out exactly what's going on with that.
We'll have a result by the end of the show, that's for sure.
We will. Moving along, what other news items, what other interesting things were we going to bring up? We've covered the seasonal change quite a bit.
Every time I moved, this thing didn't make horrible noises.
Yeah, it does kind of make a bit of sense.
Yeah. We had some listeners write in. I'm going to have to move this again. Sorry. We had some listeners write in, and of course, listeners are always welcome to write in. If you can type OTW at 2600.com and send your letter that way, we will get it. And sometimes we even read them on the air. Omari writes in to say he loves the show. I'm curious what the name and artist is of the song you played at the end of the latest episode. Has the repeated lyrics, "They own everything." It's really good, and I would like to purchase it if possible. Well, we're happy to help in situations like this. And I can tell you that that was something I heard on a radio show someplace else, and I said, wow, I got to figure out what that is, because I would like to purchase it, and I did. It's amazing, all this, you know, talk of music piracy by sharing music. It's not like that. You know, if you are into something, you want to get your own copy. Anyway, it's by an artist called Copernicus. So look up Copernicus, and I'm sure you can find that track in a number of places. It's a great song, with a lot of meaning as well. This person, Phil, writes, I heard you guys talk about your frustrations with outdated software and the problems that it caused with the VCR recordings. I have this standalone DVD burner that's awesome. I never hooked it up to the computer, and it works great. It has composite ins and makes a decent DVD. It's about 8 years old or more and still works perfect. It's the Sony VRD-MC3. What do you think about that, Kyle?
Well, that's pretty cool.
We never hooked up to the computer, and that's sort of what we're doing, right? We're hooking... Well, we're taking the output from an old VHS tape.
An analog composite signal, yeah.
Exactly, and saving it as, I believe, an AVI, right?
Yes, an AVI container with MPEG-4 encoding.
Which, for some reason, doesn't play on our WD device.
Or any real smart TVs.
Okay, this is really starting to annoy me, because
yeah.
The whole purpose of doing this was so that it could be played, and we're running into some kind of standard copyright. I don't know what we're running into. It's stupidity, for sure. But if we're saving it as an AVI, it should be playable in just about any device, as far as I can see. That's the whole point of the standard, is to be able to be played on a number of devices.
AVI didn't really win out. It's MPEG 4, which is playable on every device, and we've encoded them to that standard, but the container file format is not something that a lot of devices play, so we're going to have to transcode or re-encapsulate the encoded content if that's possible.
Well, does that mean a loss in quality of any sort?
No.
I will not tolerate a loss
in
quality.
The stuff that we've recorded at that quality and in that way is there. It just may have to be reprocessed so that it's a bit more portable. Does that make sense? That's my understanding of it. But it's still something we're going to have to work on. And, you know, we may be able to change it going forward with changing a setting, perhaps, and then any copies that we make now will be just immediately in MPEG-4. And that might just take a lot less steps out of it. The important thing is that you archive the analog stuff before it deteriorates and get it backed up in a proper proper digital workflow, so that it's there and so that people can look at it and analyze it, which is the primary purpose of the thing, not really perfecting the encoding. I think we're just doing the best we can, and I think anybody would with whether you've family pictures or any kind of archiving thing. You want to hang on to memories. It's just funny how these formats change so quickly, and they're so quickly forgotten about that people sort of shrug and look at you with disdain that you're using something that was at one point the right sort of understood way of doing it, and then things just accelerate beyond that it's not too long before that format is causing you more headaches than actually freeing you to watch things the way you'd like. But this is a small, I think, hiccup in that process. But we're definitely learning a lot about it.
Well, it's precisely the reason why things don't last, because these standards are always changing, and it's something that you use. I remember when Real Audio was the thing to use. Good luck playing a Real Audio file today. You know, nobody can figure it out. And this seems to happen to just about every format, every standard falls out of favor. You know, people used to use AltaVista to search for things, and now, you know, of course, nobody even knows how to do that. So when you have something of that nature, that, let's say, fast forward 20, 30 years, if you cannot still play that particular or access the data, play the audio or video with ease, then you're doomed. Your material is not going to survive. And that's awfully frustrating. Now, obviously, with books and with records and things like that, they will continue to be playable. They will continue to be readable. They will be subject to other natural aging that could make them impossible to access.
Difficult, at the least.
But it won't be because we no longer know how to do it. You know, we always know how to read. Well, I presume we'll always know how to read books.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to really think about how to preserve things past just the next few years. We need to know how to preserve things for the ages. I know a lot doesn't deserve to be preserved, but that's not our call right now. Our call is, if we're going to archive something, archive it for real. Archive it for 1,000 years.
Right.
I mean, think about the works of literature that have survived centuries and ask, is what you're encoding right now onto your MP3 player or whatever kind of digital device you're using, is that going to last? Is that standard going to be there? And if not, is there a way for it to easily convert with no loss, no degradation in quality, to whatever the next one is? And if somebody happens to miss that, will they be out of luck? Will they be unable to ever access the material again? You know, we had this this voicemail system. 2600 ran this voicemail system many years ago.
Yeah.
And, everybody would call in, and we still have the machine. It runs Windows 3.1. Ran software called Big Mouth. Remember that?
Well, it's not running it right now.
It's not running anything.
Pieces.
It's all scattered on the floor. But the point is, the files there can't be read by anything or anyone. I think you even contacted the person who wrote the software, and he was stumped as to how you would read these files now.
That was only a
decade or so ago.
He sent me a bunch of tiny software programs that probably don't work in the versions of Windows I'm using, but he couldn't really help me with his own format.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he'd ever want to do that. And I don't know if he's protecting his product or what, but it was a little crazy to talk to someone who is so fatalist about basically a product that has long since more or less been replaced by other technologies. And he still wouldn't support it. So I don't know what he's protecting exactly, but it was really, it's kind of awful because we have the data. We just need to convert it so that we can look at it as PCM, I guess.
Well, what's amazing to me is that we're looking at videotapes from, say, 1984, all right? That's when I first got a VCR.
Yeah.
A what?
A PWM. I'm trying to think of a WAV file, I guess.
Oh, okay. Videotapes from 1984, they still are viewable completely. No real, some degradation, but nothing significant.
Well, and that's the cool part about this project, is it's really magical.
Mm-hmm.
It's in living, you're actually able to see something that is there, that has just been on a shelf and it's just waiting to be kind of unearthed.
Yeah, and it's, with a good format, you can preserve all kinds of history. We're talking about news, we're talking about commercials,
and
the way television stations used to run. It's something that could easily be lost forever if it wasn't preserved in some way. And it's frightening to see how quickly things get lost.
And doing a good job of capturing it means that you can watch it on, like, larger TVs, and I think it looks good, even though it's SD. I mean, a lot of us grew up on SD.
Okay, stop right there. SD, yeah, I know, it's SD. And it's not perfect reception, and it's not Dolby, and it doesn't have all these amazing features that we're used to today. This is the kind of thing that also dooms our archives to oblivion because they don't measure up to our quote-unquote standards. Well, you know what? I grew up in a black-and-white television. I didn't grow up on a black-and-white television set. I grew up in a house with a black-and-white television set, and I was happy to see whatever was on there, assuming it was of some quality whatsoever. You can't be so incredibly fussy about the quality and the standards and all that to not appreciate the content. And I think that's what so many people today do. They say, I can't watch this because it's, the aspect ratio just isn't correct. Well, with the exception of what FXX did to The Simpsons, that was inexcusable. But for something like this, yeah, it's SD. But everything, as you said, was SD back then. And you gotta sort of plunge into that and feel that. You know, I was when I was going through this project, I was actually rewatching some videotapes I made when Star Trek was on the first time, The Next Generation, and it would always be on Saturday night on Channel 11, and I found it to be more interesting to watch a grainy picture, you know, it's still watchable but a bit grainy, with that episode showing up for the first time than to watch a DVD of the same episode, which looked pristine. I don't know why. I can't explain why that somehow is better. I guess it's something similar to wanting to listen to old records that have scratches in them instead of CDs. It's just something more real about it. You know, it's the way you remember it.
Yeah, and that's a just natural part of the degradation. I don't know. The whole thing is it's exciting. And again, the content is so compelling because it's so rare that any blemishes and stuff just really add character to it. So that's
you get this
exciting
get
stuff.
This.
Well, and, yeah, photos are like that. Scratches on old movies, these things. You know, even on old cars, the antique cars. I was talking to a friend, and he works with a lot of detailing and finishing products, and in that industry a little bit, and jokes with me that, like, people love cars that are messed up now, the paint, because they instead of repainting it, they'll just buff it, like, wax the whole thing, because they like the patina, right? So it looks antique, even if it has a huge rust spot or something really atrocious on the side of it. They'll take care of everything around it and preserve it so that it's sort of a living time capsule of its own detritus. Deterioration, detritus.
Well, it's a good word. I've never heard it before, but
I'm making stuff up.
Well, no, why not? Everyone else does.
I think I'm ready
to
go into delay by myself.
I would not advise that, Kyle. I would not advise going into delay alone.
Well, I was going to bring you, but I think it's these two switches, that switch, and then play, and then we test it, and then we're on.
Okay, you know what? In the spirit of adventure, I'm just going to sit back here and put my hands behind my head. Shouldn't
stop
have
hitting stuff.
Done that. I'm sorry. I'll have my hands up behind my head right now, and I'm just going to close my eyes while you go into delay, and then in a few seconds, I'll see where we are. I'll be live. You'll be in delay. Music will be playing someplace that we can't hear, and a confused caller will be disconnected. That's what I think will happen.
All right. Sounds good.
For WUSB,
and here we are talking in delay, I think.
Did I make it to delay?
I think you're in delay.
You might have actually done it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing myself.
I hear us in the past, so it's all good.
There was a long silence, though, before I heard the ID.
I did that last because I didn't want feedback to come across.
Okay.
So you're welcome.
Are you sure you didn't play the ID in audition as well?
The ID is being played in audition.
Yeah, that should have been played in program because that
you want me to play it in program?
No, I'm just saying the reason you played in program is because that covers your 7 seconds of silence, which is what we heard.
Oh, so I played it in delay.
We played it in delay too. So we had seven seconds of silence, then we heard the ID
I had everything right.
No, but that's pretty good. I mean, I'm assuming. Did you also throw the VU switch into audition?
No, I didn't.
Frank just fixed that so that you can see.
What is that again?
It's AL2. Underneath the right VU for the right speaker?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I get see one. Yeah. I don't know what it's doing.
Well, you'll see the left one. The left is live. You'll see that one moving.
The right one's moving when you talk.
Right. But it won't move when I stop. But
correct.
The one on the left continues to move because that's 7 seconds ago.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Enough of this technical talk. I have a result.
Yeah.
All right. And this is important. Our phone number, by the way, 631-632-6901. We'd love to hear from you. Join our conversation wherever it winds up taking us. But here's a headline that it says the result of today's game with Barwell and Norwich. Except it's talking British, so it's a little hard to understand.
Talking British?
It's talking, well, I'll read the headline, and you tell me exactly what it means. Are you ready?
Okay.
Nisevich bags brace to send Barwell through. Okay, so I don't know
words in there.
I don't know what bagging a brace means.
Okay.
Nisevich is a person. That much I know. So Nisevich bagged a brace to send Barwell through. So that tells me that Barwell won because they were sent through to the next round. That's what that means.
Okay.
But listen to the story. A goal in each half from Eddie Nisevich gave Barwell the tie after the long trip to Norwich United. I don't understand what that means. Yeah, they went to Norwich United. They had to play on their turf. But didn't they win? They're calling it a tie, but they won. So I think tie might have a different meaning over there as well, which really confuses things. The win sets up a mouthwatering tie at home in 2 weeks' time. What does that mean, a tie? They're calling the game a tie. It sets up a mouthwatering tie at home in 2 weeks' time against a Curzon Ashton side. That's the new opponent that we must face. Curzon Ashton side that are riding high in the league. And, by a strange quirk of fate, Barwell traveled to Curzon Ashton this Saturday in the league to battle in a prelude to the third qualifying round of the FA Cup on the 11th of October. So they're playing the same team next Saturday that they will be playing the Saturday after for the next round of the FA Cup. So there you go.
Cool.
Yeah. So they're still following Barwell, but if Curzon Ashton beats them in 2 weeks, then we'll be following them.
Cool. Sounds good.
Shall we take our first call?
Yes, we're ready for the first call.
Is there a first call?
No, we don't have any calls, but we have a telephone system that has nothing but open lines. So please call us, 631-632-6901, and we'll take your call live on the air. This is Off the Wall with Emmanuel and Kyle.
How you doing?
Hi there.
You know, sitting over here in this corner of the room, I have no idea what time it is or anything. I'm just listening to you.
Oh, well, I have lots to say. It's just there's so much to say, I can't get it in succinct enough.
I think you could tell me the time.
Phrase. Oh, 6:49.
Oh, okay. So we don't have very much time left.
No, we're actually just waiting for one or two calls. 631-632-6901, 631-632-WUSB.
Which is a different number, but it goes to the same place.
Yeah.
Because 6901 does not spell WUSB. 9872 does. So either one. But if you're in 631, you don't have to dial the 631. But if you're in 631, you should know that.
Either way, just if you dial either of those numbers, we would love to have you. Anything you'd like to bring up, anything that's happened in the news, anything that you've seen, anything we've talked about, anything locally, if you have any word on these robberies that are going on in the Suffolk County area, I'm sure there's more than just one, but all of that is interesting stuff that we would love to speak with you about.
If you'd like to make an anonymous tip, just give us your name, and we'll take your information, and we'll act upon it.
And give us your feedback. If there's anything you'd like us to cover in the future, write us, otw@2600.com, or you could talk to us on the air and say, hey, this is a great topic, and I'd really love to hear your guys' input, and we can do some research, and we'll come back and share with you about what we've learned and maybe some interesting points we'd like to raise in the world sphere of discussion and here locally, and especially to our listeners.
Can you see the little tiny red light from?
I can see that there is no little tiny red lights lighting up.
That's incredible to me.
It's very sad. Please call in. This is your time. We're actually running out of time.
Imagine if we were asking for money.
Yeah, this is actually prep for when we do have the fundraiser a little bit later, which is coming up, and it's very important. I mean, that's what keeps us going. That's why we're here now, is because people in the past have supported the station, and so here we are saying this station's yours too. Come on the air. Oh.
Why are you holding the phone in the air?
I almost hung up on them. Go ahead.
No, take the phone call before they change their
name. Hello, WUSB, you're on the air.
I want to get myself in the past. I want to find out if you guys, did you guys get out to the Custer Institute out in Southold? Because I know you guys talked about that last week.
Yes, we did. We managed to get out to the Custer Institute.
Oh, I think, right?
I'm sorry?
Is it the darkest place on Long Island where there's no ambient light?
Which we didn't know in advance, and then by doing a little research, we realized it was the same place.
Sam talks about that place all the time on his show.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Well, I'm not familiar.
Custer Institute.
But our experience was just this amazing coincidence that it's a place that we know of as a great spot to look at stars, and what do you know, there's a whole society of people and an installation out there with a lot of different hardware and a lot of knowledge and really good spirit. It was a lot of fun for us.
There's a lot of stars out there.
Oldest star from Long Island is in, Brookhaven somewhere or somewhere in, like, Middle Island? Icy Hollow. Should go there.
Oh, that's another one. Okay, neat.
Take care of it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for that call. Wow, cool.
That's a place, or is that a gag, Icy Hollow?
Yeah, it sounds like a hazing technique, which is apropos, because it's the beginning of the year, and we should be sensitive to this. Hazing is wrong. Just be nice, include people, and take care of one another. That was your PSA from off the wall. Any other calls, please call in 631-632-6901. This is your radio station, 2.
Are there any anti-star people out there?
Yeah, anyone against stars?
Against the galaxy.
Other galaxies. If you have any opinions about those.
You notice how we haven't talked about world events at all? And there are a lot of world events to talk about, but this show, I kind of wanted to focus on local things. Well, I guess the universe isn't that local, but...
Local and extra local.
Uh-huh.
But nothing, the middle stuff we'll leave to, well, the rest of the world to deal with.
Interstellar as well, that counts because it's not, you know, nobody else cares apparently.
It's just not what we're about, you know, we are expanding, right? We want to expand our discussion and so thus my appeals for some ideas and people's call. And I'm trying to get to the empowerment part of the fact that this is your opportunity to use the station, get your mind, your thoughts and things off your mind and be outspoken and use this as a resource it is. Be active. We're a talk show here. There's a lot of other shows, music and really fascinating programming. And we will be asking for money shortly to support the station But in the case of today, we're here for you, you know? Let us know what you think. 631-632-6901. Anything we've covered, anything you'd like us to cover in the future, please call in and share with us.
I'm just checking my phone now because I really haven't been following news over the last day. So I'm kind of out of it. And I just discovered that Ebola has arrived in the United States. It's in Dallas right now. Welcome to the Ebola virus for its first case on American soil. This is a remarkable moment.
It is remarkable, and whatever the case may be, let's hope it makes a short trip.
If we can weaponize Ebola and use that against ISIS, I think that would be a remarkable coming together of two different stories and resolution.
Yes, and if that Ebola could also find MH370, I would be... Also.
You know, okay, thank you. No one's talking about that Malaysian Airlines flight that disappeared and still nobody has found it.
Right, where's the toad pinger now?
What's going on? We just forgot about this? We're just not going to talk about it anymore? No, I'm sorry. Where's the damn plane? .com.
Thank you. I mean, enough said. Let's go on to the next topic. By the way, we are still taking calls, 631-632-6901. Please call in to...
We actually only have, like, a minute.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go out of delay then.
Let's see how smoothly this is handled. Just remember to bring me with you when you go out of delay so I'm not 7 seconds behind like in real life.
Okay, so I also play an ID though, right?
No, you don't have to play an ID.
And I think we're back live
and
here.
And now the calls are coming in.
And now we have a call coming in. I'm really sorry.
No, you should be sorry because we warned you this was going to happen. Now we got to go out with an outro. It's a good outro though, and Finn is coming up next.
It is the case. Until next time.
Good night.
Good night. Kill the answer and food of love. Sounds so really make you rub and scrub. Bang, it's a good dolly. General, because it's cool and lonely.
chip on the left hand side. Pump the go chip on the left hand side. It's a go bump.
Give me the music, make me jump from front.
It's a go bump.
Give me the music, make me rock in a di dum. Bang 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 bang
on the left hand side, it's a go bump.